The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello and welcome to Reality TV. It's me, Jody, and this week I'm going to be bringing you recaps of 90 Day Fiancé, Before the 90 Days, Married at First Sight, and 60 Days In. I adore that show. Catch the repeats, the reruns, if you are not into it yet. Trust me, it's going to be one of your favorite shows. Now, I need to thank my newest Patreon subscribers because they are the ones that are keeping this podcast that you're listening to right now free and available. So Kate, Becky, Kim, Emily, Amy, and all of you who are Patreon subscribers, truly and deeply, thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying the bonus episodes. This week, I'll be bringing you the polygamy profile or my polygamy email messages that I've been getting. I forgot to get to it last week, and I'm going to try a new game this week. If you are a subscriber to Total Request Podcast, which you should because you guys are getting a bargain over there, Amanda and I are bringing you 4 bonus episodes a month in addition to the 4 that you already get. So you're getting 8 episodes a month for only $4. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you listen to that episode, I was talking to Amanda about one of her podcast episodes that she had done, which was the Being Matt special of Teen Mom OG. And it made me think of the game Smells Like or Tastes Like, because she had talked about how she thinks Gary and Matt might taste like. I'm not going to go deep into that. You'll have to listen to her Being Matt special. But it got me thinking, and I wanted to play this game, a little Patreon version of it, Smells Like, Tastes Like. And I'm going to go through 90 Day Fiancé people, Love After Lockup, maybe 60 Days In, although we could probably guess how many of them would smell like after they've been in jail for a while. So just to give you a little flavor, a little taste of what Amanda and I were talking about, Gary Shirley from Teen Mom. I said butterscotch fudge. Just take that in for a moment. Maybe even a salted butterscotch fudge because, you know, salty sweet. Let's say, for example, an Andrew. Andrew, you know, big, tall Andrew, who now has custody of Amber's son, he would smell like Salisbury steak and buttered egg noodles. Do you see where I'm going with this? And then obviously Matt Bayer would smell like cigarettes, white milk, and a very old lingering case of halitosis that he regularly tries to cover up with spearmint flavored certs. So if you like what you hear, check out Patreon this week because I really do give this a lot of thought. Coming up this week on Total Request Podcast, this might be a really iconic week because we're going to be recapping 3 episodes. The first episode is our request this week. It is to watch season 5, making sure I get this correct, season 5, episode 13 of My 600-Pound Life, featuring the one and only Stephen Asante. The other 2 episodes that I am going to have Amanda recap, get ready for it, Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica. I'm having her watch season 1, episode 1, Chicken of the Sea, and episode 7 of season 1, which is redecorating or decorating with the Newlyweds. Either way, it's going to be really good. And like I said, you're getting 8 episodes per month for $4. That's at patreon.com/trpod. You request the shows, we watch them, and we're going to be giving you those weekly bonus episodes for as long as this quarantine is lasting, because God damn it, you guys deserve it. And thank you for supporting us there on Total Request Podcast and on our individual Patreons. It means the world to us. So all of that out of the way, I am done with all the business. I need to tell you guys a very dark secret that I have. I am not too proud of it because I am nearing 40 years old. I know, believe it or not, I sound like an 18-year-old, right? But I cannot get enough of TikTok. I watch all these funny videos. Of course, there's a lot of trip and fall ones. There are pranks where they're pranking their parents or their kids, and they're funny. I don't like pranks being played on me. Do I enjoy watching them played on other people because I'm an asshole? Yes, and I'm admitting that. But it's just really, really funny. And there's super cute animal videos if you're into that. You guys have to download it. I have no idea how to upload anything. I will not be uploading anything, but I cannot stop watching it. So download it. Trust me, you'll be laughing your ass off. And it makes the time pass really easily. Now, one app, I wasn't even going to plan on talking about this, but I'm going there. I have to remember what it's called. Looking at my phone. Oh, House Party. Someone told me to go ahead and download this, and I did. I was like, oh, okay, it's like FaceTime. You can all hang out on this. Well, little did I know, anyone can just pop up on your phone. So here I am setting up my profile, and all of a sudden I see my daughter's friend go, oh my gosh, hey, Mrs. Huff. I mean, thank God it wasn't like sitting on the toilet or something. I don't even know how her face came up here. I didn't accept her. I guess that's just like a thing. And then next I knew, another one of my daughter's friends pops up on there. I run to Paige. I'm like, your friends are on here. Of course, I'm wearing my pre-pajamas, no makeup, hair a mess. She's mortified. She's like, Mom, get off there. She won't get on the phone with me. And so I'm embarrassing her more because I'm like, look, your friends are on here. They didn't know it was me and they just popped up. So don't download that one unless you know what you're doing. And I will say as a warning, apparently people can like jump in your house party and you not see them, like they go invisible or something. Say no to House Party, yes to TikTok. All right, two big items of news. The first one's going to be very brief because all I say to it is no, Gigi Hadid is pregnant. No, don't care. We need to stop talking about it. It's going to be a very long, however many months. I mean, we heard about Yolanda's lemon trees for years upon end. This is going to be the new Kardashian kid because you know that's what Yolanda wanted this whole time. She didn't want to be the Martha Stewart with the clear refrigerator. She wanted to be, what's her name, Kris Kardashian. And now she's going to be. I just say, no, that is it. Now, most importantly, and I'm going to embarrass her just like I embarrassed my daughter, my oldest niece, Emily, graduated from college yesterday, and I am just so proud of her. I love her to death. She's the best. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's kind. She has a huge heart. Emily, I adore you. I'm so proud of you. However, and this is no fault of Emily, if any of you have watched graduations, perhaps you experienced the same thing. So her college did a live stream where, you know, they had their president and their dean or whoever, you know, they do the little speech thing. But then they had each of the graduating students choose a professor or a staff member, faculty, whatever, read their name for them, which made it not only very long, but also very cringy. There are certain people who are meant to read names and certain ones who are not. And when you throw in the factor that they're recording themselves reading the names in their own homes, who, I mean, you have huge potential for an SNL parody. And of course, I'm an asshole. So I picked a few favorites and I followed them the entire time. I even got Charlie and Paige in on it. And near the end, Dave was enjoying my impersonations too. So I had a couple favorites that were, you know, kind of hot. I mean, there was one professor, oh, Jesus, I don't know, whatever he teaches, I would go back for another bachelor's or a master's degree because, oh my God, he could get it. And then you had just the poor, unfortunate souls that probably don't take selfies very often because they were shot from waist level up and it's not a good look on anyone. So my heart really went out to those people. But then there was Dr. Cheerleader. And Dr. Cheerleader is a very perky, blonde-looking professor. She's got her PhD, so she's got a lot of brains, but maybe not a lot of experience reading names during a commencement, because every time she said a name, it was 10 times louder than all the other names that they had spliced together during this video. And she would scream it as if she wanted the entire crowd to do the wave. So, for example, you would hear the other professor saying, Chantel Everett, Pedro Jimeno. Then, you know, you might get one that has a little question at the end, like Elizabeth Podhast, Andre Castrovet. And then you're like, oh, God, don't go up at the end, which I probably do all the time. But Dr. Cheerleader would go, Molly Hopkins, and then go on to do like a Annie Suwan. I mean, you really got to be careful if you are going to be reading names at a commencement, because no one will ever forget that. Just like one of my best friends, she may even be listening right now, Jackie, I'm talking about you, our high school graduation, whoever was reading her name read it as Jacqueline Amanda Smith. But I've never let her live that down. Every time I've seen her over the past, 20 some years, I've referred to her as Jacqueline Amanda. I'm just saying, Dr. Cheerleader, you really fucked him over. So in saying that, I have no idea where that story was going, but I just needed to share with you because I was having a nice little chuckle on Sunday.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Let's get into 90 Day Fiancé, shall we? Starting with the worst. Well, I take that back. She's not the worst, but she sucks a lot. Stephanie. She is still in Australia, just slobbing all over the place. She's got clothes hanging out of her bags, dumping makeup all over the place. But don't worry, Stephanie's thoughtful, always wants to bring a gift for the hostess. She managed to take some time out of her busy YouTubing schedule to grab a couple 3-for-18 items out of the Bath & Body Works bin. Exactly what a mom wants when her daughter comes home to come out of the closet and brings her bitchy new American girlfriend with her. Thanks for the sun-ripened raspberry lotion and peach Bellini candle. Maybe Erica's mom can go in her office and smell her candle so she doesn't have to smell the days-old layers of dry shampoo in Stephanie's hair. Yeah, I know what I see. But all kidding aside, even though I'm not kidding about that dry shampoo situation, Erica's parents are the best. I absolutely adore them, as I'm sure all of you do too. I don't know if I love Erica's dad like I want him to be my dad or my neighbor. Maybe I'm attracted to him. I don't really care. I just have a deep respect and love for him inside. I mean, not only does the man know how to cook Chinese food from scratch, but he's totally cool with Erica being bisexual. You know, his reaction and her mom's was exactly how I think I would react. I would expect I would react that way, and how I hope and pray all parents would react. I think it's really sad to think that people have to come out anyway to anyone. You know, do we come out as straight? Do we talk to our parents when we're 18 or 30 and say, Mom and Dad, I have something to tell you. I'm heterosexual. You know, just like Papa Erica, Father Erica said, it's just information. You know, as long as you're happy, do what you need to do. As long as you're being a good person, a good citizen, and you're doing the right thing, who cares, right? I just loved it. So I'm just going to leave it on that happy note, knowing that Erica's happiness and her adorable family are what matters most. Now let's talk about Darcy here. Darcy is dressed exactly how I expect Darcy to be dressed at all times. A very tight tank top, some sort of flowy caftan to kind of cover up whatever else is happening underneath there, because I myself do the same thing. So she's sitting down to send back Tom's fake house key. I'm a little concerned about the postage situation, but that's neither here or there because Tom is already back in New York. Let's break this down here. Why Is he here again? We're refusing asylum seekers and refugees into the United States, but we're letting Tom come and go willy-nilly. His weird, bright blue shade of jeans would have been an instant refusal at the border if I were a Border Patrol agent. But, you know, call me picky, call me an asshole. And with that, that a girl, Darcy, and I refuse to talk about Tom. He's a loser. No one cares. He's over. Goodbye. He's canceled. Now, Yolanda, along the same lines here, she also is full of crap. We know this. It's actually been proven now. So her storyline really should be done. I don't even think they should be putting her on here at all anymore because Yolanda is a catfish. She was catfished. And while we're on that line, I want to touch on the actual documentary Catfish, where that whole phrase came to be. I actually watched it this past weekend. And let me do you a favor. Don't go back and rewatch it because it does not hold up to the test of time. Neve and his brother and the other guy, the third guy, they're horrible actors. It's worse than the MTV show. If you go back and watch this documentary, which I urge you not to do because I hope they're not getting any kickbacks, you'll see they were full of shit right from the beginning, just like Yolanda. Now, Avery and Ash, they are also in the land down under, and Ash is under the weather. He's in full meltdown mode because, he got called out by a woman. A crazy, rhombus-brained woman put him in his place. The jig is up. Ash has got nothing at this point. He doesn't have his hashtaggy words. He doesn't have energy fields. He doesn't even have Avery anymore. She's not going to jump in and save his ass with, just talk about the five love languages. You know, it's just Ash in his ball sweat, waiting for his own variety of, man-jegging yeast infection to proof. He doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. Just staring off into the nothingness because he can't hide behind a quote card on his Instagram. He can't have a nice little background while he's talking to these women online to trick them into thinking that he has any sort of original thought in his head. And bullshit that Avery didn't have his back. All right, I'm jumping all over the place here because he gets me fired up. He is the type of guy who mistakes a woman's brains and strong will for being over emotional. Avery is not a pit bull. You're just a coward. Oh, I got a couple more of these. This goes out to Ash and any other guy like this. Feel free to write these down and share them. You haven't been stripped down. You've been uncovered. Avery isn't heartless. She's curious. She doesn't enjoy hurting you, Ash. She just wants to get to know the real you. Come on, relationship coach. You should know this already. But instead, what does Ash do? He just goes running around like Tamara Barney did when she got called out on Real Housewives of Orange County. Remember that? She was barefoot in Mexico and you hear her running off. You'll never see me again. Why? Because you have been found out. We can see right through your act and you throwing blame on everyone else except yourself just makes you look even more guilty. You're done, Ash. All right, David. Changing gears here. Las Vegas, the land of Colt, Yolanda, and David, and formerly of the Sister Wives, I should add. You know, when coronavirus gets you down, I just want you guys to think about Vegas and our friends there who are listening right now. Think about what they have been dealing with for all of these years. Here we have David back from the Ukraine, but that doesn't mean it's over. He is more determined than ever to track down this mysterious Lana and torture himself and his friends, maybe some family if he has any, and us even more. I have zero negative sympathy for David here on out. I do have sympathy for his friends who are dealing with this bullshit day in and day out, namely Victoria. She shows up to David's gross, dated, David-covered apartment, if you know what I mean. She's wearing everything she's ever found at the clearance section at Charming Charlie's. Those feather earrings, though. And she's going to deliver the good news to David, right? She's doing the Lord's work. She's going to translate all the great news from the private investigator, and they're going to find out where the real Lana is. So Victoria is listening. Then she turns to David and says, "Sorry, my friend. She uses the same photos on many sites, and this is her income." To which David screams out like Joe Wilson during Obama's State of the Union, "You lie!" No, this is not fake news. This is actual facts. This is the man that you hired, that you met and trusted, that's delivering you only facts. That's his job, a private investigator. It would actually be more work for him to make shit up. But David refuses to accept any of this, and he's barking at Victoria. That shows you the kind of guy that David is, the way that he reacted to his own friend. You don't bark at Victoria, who actually looked very beautiful in those feather earrings by the end of this episode. David's just an overgrown child who's doubling down on not admitting that he was wrong, where he just looks even more foolish. You know, he's got cookie crumbs all over his face, but he's not wrong. He didn't eat the cookies before dinner. Just admit that you were wrong. And if you really want to have a girlfriend overseas, find a new one, because this one is not real. All right, Ed, who, when he cannonballed into that pool at the beginning, stay with me here, because yes, I am going to say something mean, but he deserves it. All I can say is Rose really lucked out, because if she ever needed to weigh down a hypothetical body with a cinder block, she wouldn't have to do that with Ed, because that boy is dense. And I don't feel badly about calling Ed out anymore, because not only do we see him being an asshole and a liar to Rose on screen, there is also a woman who is carefully coming forward with vague accusations. This is real life now, currently. She says she used to work with Ed and he harassed her while they were working, but she can't say much because when they were working together, they both signed an NDA. Now, I saw a few clips of this on, actually, it might have been on TikTok, or maybe it was Instagram. I'm sure if you Google it, you can find them yourselves. This is all allegedly. She's saying that Ed is not a great guy and that she had some PTSD that was triggered watching her alleged harasser on TV. All that aside, we already know Ed is an asshole. First of all, he didn't want to tell Rose that he didn't want children because he's afraid he would lose her. Oh, okay, let's go with that logic. By all means, waste a year of Rose's life leading her to believe that she's going to build a family with you and she's going to move to America and bring her son with her, when all along you've had zero intentions of having any more kids. Let's be real, Ed doesn't even like the kid Rose has because he's all too excited to toss Prince at Rose's sister. You know, he can't pass up the opportunity to insult Rose in front of a production crew and drop bombshells on her. And then he tells Rose that she is the best view. Bullshit. You're gross, Ed. No woman anywhere wants to hear that kind of a pathetic line because they know it's not genuine. And no woman wants a man to tell her what her reproductive future must be if she wants to be blessed with your condescending presence every day. And then Ed tells Rose that he's not only thinking about not having any more kids, he's 100% certain he's getting a vasectomy. No kids ever, no discussion of it, end of story. But that's okay because he's going to give her time to think about it. So do you still love me, Rose? No, Ed, you are not allowed to manipulate this situation like you're the victim. Or maybe victim isn't the right word here. It's like he's trying to make it seem like he wants to have children, but his hands are tied. Still love me? You know, Ed hasn't been single this long because of his looks. He's been single because he thinks way too highly of himself. He thinks he deserves a certain level of woman that he doesn't deserve. He's just a creepy asshole. And I love that Rose left him overnight. She did absolutely the right thing. Let him sit there and sweat his ass off. Make him feel what true worry is like. You know, Ed's all worried because he's been walking around by himself for 10 freaking minutes. Meanwhile, Rose has been off by herself wondering, who is this liar that I've introduced to my family, that I've had my son called Dad, who spent the night in my home, who met my father, showered with my father? Who is this selfish piece of shit that's been lying to me? Ed wasn't expecting her to come back with reasons why she didn't want to be with him. First of all, you lied to me about your height. Then you insulted me about my breath and my ulcer. He wanted me to take an STD test, insinuating that I am, I don't know, sleeping with a lot of different people. You know what, Ed? You're just like my sister. You're both using me. You both have an agenda. So how are you any different? I'm done. I don't want to be with you. Big Ed was not expecting that. And may I add, Rose is not an object. She has a brain. She has a life. She has a choice. Ed is not her savior or her lucky day or her winning lottery ticket. Ed used her, plain and simple. And if you think about it, Rose gave Ed way more than he ever gave her. And I think we need to stop putting him on this pedestal like he's this entertaining guy on the show. No, he used her, he lied to her, and at the end of the day, Ed is not a good guy. All right, our last couple, DeBella DeBall, Lisa, who is now in Lita territory for me. She's, yeah, that bad. In every episode we've seen, we hear Lisa screaming at Usman saying that he is disrespectful, as she herself is screaming in a public place in a different country, waving her middle finger around. If only Lisa's maturity were as old as her no need for birth control vagina, we would be so lucky. She's vile. She doesn't impress me, just like Usman's hometown doesn't impress Lisa. I mean, what a... I want to say a word that I reserve for very few women, but I'm going to spare you because I know it offends a lot of people. Ironically, just like Lisa does. All right, so maybe I should just say it. She's a see you next Tuesday. I mean, where does this bitch get off telling her fiance that she wants to get the fuck out of the only home he's ever known because it doesn't impress her? I can't wait to go back and see her nasty ass house again because, so help me, I will rip her trash castle down to its tobacco-stained foundation, if there even is one, because something tells me it's probably on wheels or cinder blocks. I mean, Lisa is making Angela and Love After Lockup Angela look classy, and that is something I never thought there would be a lower level than. That's no small feat. But she's not done complaining, even though they left Usman's disgusting hometown that doesn't meet her standards. Now, Lisa has to bitch and complain that mommy didn't make up her mind fast enough, so now Lisa's gotta speed up her marriage date. Oh, I'm sorry that mommy took too long breaking thousands of years worth of tradition and faith so that you could waddle your disgusting, entitled ass down the aisle. How rude of her! I mean, it's almost like mommy was thinking of other people besides Lisa, you know? Oh, hold on. I almost forgot to sing for you guys today. Why didn't you remind me? I'll be there for you, baby girl. Did it sound way different than it did with a musical track? I'm just saying there might be a little audio editing going on. All right, now back to the courthouse for the wedding. Throw your crispy curls into a high ponytail, girls, and wrap on that burnt orange Old Glory by Walmart dress around your boobs like Lisa. Here we go. Enter into the courthouse and see a gorgeous Nigerian elder man who asks one question and one question only. Have you ever been married before? And we're done. That's a wrap. You see, Lisa didn't bring any documentation of her being married and or divorced before, so now the guy can't marry them. Now, call me overprepared, but wouldn't that be something you would assume to bring with you to show that you are not married, or had you been married, that it's not current, right? Even if you did one Google search like I did, yep, you know I did, you would have found on the first Google search page at least 4 to 5 different sites saying, if you are born in any other country besides Nigeria, you need to have court documented, a notarized piece of paper saying you have either never been married, never applied for a marriage license, or you bring your divorce decree with you. So even if Usman didn't get it done, that's something that she herself could have done very easily, taken very minimal effort and done in most states online from what I saw. But of course, it's all Usman's fault. It always is. All right, I'm going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, Married at First Sight and 60 Days In.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Ten years, 68 singles. Here we are, married at first sight. Where are they now? The first couple that we catch up with is season 5 Chicago's Ashley and Anthony. This couple is cute. I think Ashley had a very interesting choice for an outfit. She looked like a flight attendant. These two are like two peas in a pod, sharing the same box of hair dye. Pretty boring, normal couple. You know, they're happy, which is boring. They had a baby, which came a few weeks early, but now they are happier. But you know what's going to make them the happiest? Another baby. All right, moving on. We have a little interstitial from Courtney from season 1, who divorced the firefighter dude. I was really rooting for them. But now she's got a dog named Queso. I actually love that name, although it would make me hungry every time I would call the dog. But she's engaged to a new guy named Sherm. So go Courtney. I always kind of liked her. Now, Jeff D and Shawnice are back, and I wasn't watching the other Catching Up things or Where Are They Now episodes, but somehow I knew that they had a baby and they were on again, off again. What I didn't know was that those issues were because Jeff D was messing around with other girls, whatever that means. Does that mean he was talking to them? Does that mean cyber sex? Oh, God, is that what you even call it anymore? Whatever it was, he's an asshole. I mean, you don't do that when you are married and your wife is pregnant. You don't do that, period. But like a fairy tale, they met along the water's edge a few months ago and they decided they're going to make their family work because they love their daughter. And we all know that staying together for the kids always works. I don't know if they found the secret sauce to making it work after, you know, you both agree to divorce, but they did a pretty convincing job of saying they're happy now, plugging away on their careers and their daughter. So either they're good actors or they're ignoring bigger issues that they have. Or maybe, you know, they're the next Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper. I don't know. Their daughter was hilarious with a sassy attitude. I mean, they got to keep that shit in check because it's not so cute when she's out of that high chair. But I wish them the best. They're a cute couple. Now, then we have a season 5 Nate interstitial. He says he's in a new relationship and he's happy, moving right along. Season 6, Molly is here. Remember this bombshell where Molly had some video that she was talking shit about John and vice versa? Well, after the season wrapped, we all learned that Dr. Jessica and John hooked up and they've been together ever since. Now they're engaged and, in my opinion, they are more annoying than ever. Molly calls in to talk to Kevin Frazier for the first time, and I was practically salivating, you know, doing ash eyes from 90 Day Fiancé, because I can't imagine the amount of hate and messages Molly was getting, because I was getting shit about leaning towards her side when I was recapping the show. There's no specific reason why I dislike him. There's just something punchable about his face to me. His personality triggers me in some way. I don't know if it's his smarminess, and now the lovey-dovey crap on Instagram that he and Jessica post is beyond. I mean, I've never followed them, but periodically people will send me things that they've posted, and it's embarrassing. It's like watching high schoolers. But I want to rewind a bit here. Let's go back to season 6. Now, even though Married at First Sight is a TV show, they cannot tout enough how the experts take this so seriously, and they care about how all the couples are matched and that they're rooting for all of them. And then you have one of the therapists, Dr. Jessica, hooking up with one of the husbands. Come on. I mean, imagine if this were real life. Your couples therapist, who you are going to with your partner, who's advising you on your relationship, even talking to you one-on-one, then gets with your partner after you break up. That's some questionable ethical lines there. And think about it this way. Would we be as forgiving if Pastor Cal hooked up with one of the women, hooked up with Molly, for example? I mean, who cares? Whatever. Let's not give Dr. Jessica or John any more attention. You know, let them live their happily ever after with John's cat condo. Remember that thing? If Molly can move on, so can we. We get another little interstitial of Jacqueline, who I think we all loved. She was the one who married the firefighter who would always wear the star-spangled boxers. I totally forgot his name. Brian? Chad? Whatever. She lives in Phoenix, and she's engaged, and she's happy, and that makes me happy. Now then we get Jamie, Otis, and Doug, and the baby on board. Yay! Doug walks out, and the first thing out of his mouth is, well, proves we had sex at least a couple times. Is that awkward, or is that just me? Is that an old joke that I don't find funny anymore, or is it a weird thing for someone to say as the first thing coming out of their mouth when they go on camera? Moving along, Jamie. I have very conflicted feelings about this, and I'm probably going to get raked over the coals just like I did with the John and Molly thing. I think Jamie is probably a very sweet person. Actually, I'm 100% certain that she is a good person, a sweet human being, but I just don't want to watch her on my TV anymore. I just think it's over-the-top schmoozy. It's a TV personality, and I just want to see real people. This is reality TV. That's all I want to see. Moving along, we had a season 5 Danielle. Her little interstitial says she teaches yoga and she's happy. Thanks for such a great update. Moving along to actually a very good update. This is season 9 Charlotte's Elizabeth / Beth and Jamie, aka the Seinfeld twins. Well, Beth comes out wearing such a Beth dress. It's red, it's loud, it's very short, and she is more Beth than ever. You know, she's a big personality. She did grow on me as the season went on, though, but in saying that, I still don't miss her. You know, it was like a good one season, and now we can move on. But it was kind of nice and surprising to hear that they're still together. They broke up, got back together, but all in all, they're pretty happy. And of course, we had to revisit the basic Caucasian sex thing, which Elizabeth says they're not having anymore. She was all sex positive, saying, don't wear a white shirt, I want the lights on, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then she got coy when Jamie was asked about it. That I don't get. Why is it okay if you're all over the top talking about it, and then when Jamie grants your request of explaining what you did to improve the basic Caucasian sex, he says toys, she got all, Jamie, oh my God, I can't believe you sent that. And that's why I don't miss her. Let's move on to a way more exciting update. This is the same season, season 9 Charlotte, but we're talking about Amber and Matt. Remember, like high-low, she was real short, he was real tall. Let's talk about Matt for a second, because what the hell happened to his looks? He was a good-looking guy at the beginning of their season, and then, of course, the more he acted like an asshole, the uglier he got. But now, his hair is longer. He looks like a dirty Parisian scam artist. You know, like some guy who just walks the streets. He's waiting to find some dumb foreign woman to sleep with so he can get a free bed and a shower at a nice hotel that night. He just looks terrible. And maybe that's his karma for being such a jerk to Amber. And at least he does admit that he shouldn't have gone on the show. We got to give him credit for that. It would be nice if the show would then stop recruiting people to get married. But, you know, who's the sucker? Me, because I'm still watching it season to season. Now, there's no surprise that these two hate each other. I mean, that season ended pretty badly. Although Amber seems to hate Matt more than he hates her, which makes sense because Matt doesn't have feelings because he's a narcissist. But what does not make sense to me whatsoever is why Matt doesn't want a divorce. Is he avoiding telling the truth about something? Is it just a power move? Like, what purpose does it serve Matt not to sign divorce papers if he doesn't communicate with Amber? Is it just to get the satisfaction of seeing her squirm, or he thinks this gives him the upper hand? He's just a dick. And what does he want to contact his lawyer for? He doesn't have any assets. We learned that when he was on the show, remember? Because he was homeless. He had zero belongings, maybe 3 pairs of underwear, 2 pairs of shoes. So after a bunch of back and forth, Amber's like, listen, doesn't matter what happened in the past, even though I sent you 3 different divorce decrees. I have a notary present here. I have new divorce papers saying I want nothing from you, just your signature. But Matt still won't sign it. So Amber's like, what the hell am I here for? She leaves the stage, and then Matt, because he's got no originality or brain in his body, says now he's going to leave too, and he's going to go hang out with an IG model. Ooh, an IG model. We're so jealous. What a fucking loser. All right, moving on to Sam and Neil. Remember them? Sam actually looks great, which makes me happy because she drove me absolutely nuts during her season. But she's really matured a lot. She's a mom, so, you know, perhaps her lack of sleep has kind of simmered down her hyperness, which is a good thing. We get flashbacks from their season, which were really rough because she was very brutal on him. I really forgot how hard she was and how devastated she was when Neil wanted divorce. I forgot all about that when she was just sobbing on the sidewalk with Dr. Pepper, but she got through it. Looking back now, she says she's embarrassed and she is so apologetic to Neil, and it made me love her. You know, seeing how Neil still cares about her, he was sweet and patient. He's definitely a keeper. And we get a tiny little update on him later, so I'll leave you hanging there. Now, during a commercial break, we get another one of those interstitials, this time with Tom. Remember Tom, who lived in the camper, the one who married Lillian, who only wore clothes from the Ross Dress for Less junior section? Well, they divorced, and he later married a woman. He's a stepdad, and I think he still lives in RVs, and they redo them together, whatever. And Lillian lives in Charlotte now. She moved, and she's got a dog. Moving along to the most beige, boring couple ever, Danielle and Bobby. It floors me that it's been 2 years because it does not seem that long ago. And we learn that 2.5 months after they met, 10 weeks after their wedding, they found out they were pregnant. That's a month after the decision day. Well, Danielle ended up having some extremely serious complications, but thank goodness all is well. And now Danielle is a stay-at-home mom. She didn't think she wanted to do that, but now she does. And I don't know why. I'm a little concerned about her. She looks very different to me. I know new motherhood, it tires the shit out of you. I've been there. But I'm worried about her. I want to make sure she's taking care of herself. Maybe I'll send her a little eyeliner, mascara. You know, have Bobby watch the baby and you get some sleep, girl. Now, let me get a little update from Dave from Dallas. Remember him? He and Amber broke up. I don't think there's any real surprise there. They were not compatible at all. They're on friendly terms, so that's good. And he's moving to California. We also get an update from Tristan from the Dallas season. He was the one married to, God, these seasons end, and then I never remember their names. She was the one that was detained when they were going to go on their honeymoon. Well, he's engaged and he's getting married in 4 months. So yay for Tristan. Then a little update from one of the guys I cannot stand. He's right up there with John Frasetic. David from Atlanta. He wore a lot of tank tops. I don't care. Moving right along. We get an update from Trey and Neil, season 3 Atlanta, in the recording together. How amazing is that? Now, our update from Neil is very brief. He says he has a girlfriend, and then Trey says it's complicated, which means he's probably hooking up with a bunch of girls. Good for him. Now, at the end, all the couples come back for this stupid game, like a newlywed game. Who's cleaner? You know, and you hold up your name or your partner's name. It just didn't play well with this many couples. Too much. And Jamie Otis was fighting for her screen time, girl. She needed to crack a joke after every question or laugh the loudest, bend over and guffaw the most. Confidence whispers, desperation screams. And that goes for you too, Beth/Elizabeth. All right, well, I'm going to hightail it over to A&E for 60 Days In, The Aftermath Part 2, before I get myself in too much trouble.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Last week, we left off with Shanice peeing for Angel. Remember that? And Shanice didn't know that Ashley was pissed about it. Well, the previews made it look like Ashley and Shanice were going to pop off and go at each other, but it was nothing. So let's fast forward to the phase two participants. Yes, we have Vanessa, Heather, Tony, of course, and Donovan. And again, we have to remember that none of them had seen any of the footage because the season hadn't premiered yet. One person was missing, and that was Mark. Mark walks onto the set. You can tell he doesn't wear a suit very often. I'll give him credit for dressing up because, you know, many of our participants didn't. I talked about that last week. But maybe if you're going to wear a suit, button the top button under your tie. Otherwise, it's going to look like you're wearing your dad's suit, which it looked like he did. And it was like that shiny finish. Ugh, no bueno. Also, no bueno was Mark's clip package where they revisit Tony's first impressions of Mark and his achy breaky back he had the whole week he was in there. And this is where shit goes sideways for Mark. Much like I talked about, what was the guy's name last week? The one that tapped out Teapot. Mark went in there to prove that he did a great job, which is where you go wrong if you tap out. If you tap out, you don't go onto a reunion guns blazing for the participants that actually did make it, especially not my Tony. Do not come for my super secret boyfriend. You know, Tony is not the bad guy that Mark thinks that he is. Mark thinks that Tony was only picking on him, that he was sizing him up, which, first of all, it actually was the purpose. Tony's job was to size up the participants and see what are they lacking. What might they need to know to make their mission successful? Just say you wish you could have done better, Mark. Comparing your few nights at Etowah County to Gitmo, it just proves you're doubling down on admitting nothing, if that makes any sense. All right, let's talk about Heather, who actually did stay for the whole experience. I love how I'm smack-talking like I would survive 1/60th of a second. But Heather talks about that incident with Caswell. That was the inmate who was in that upper right cell. Like, it really matters which cell. The one where Officer Robinson went in with some of the trustees and they were throwing bleach and Kool-Aid and all that stuff on her. And there was a very awkward dynamic that seemed to come to a head here between Chief Peak and Heather. Typically, I'm always on the side of the sheriff or the chief or the warden, but in this case, I gotta say that Chief Peak was being awfully defensive. The mere mention of this by Heather sent Peak into we fired her right away. We saw that, and that was only one of two incidences that were ever reported. But Heather's like, no, there were way more fights, way more actions that should have been reported. And then it became this, my jail is better than your jail fight between our parents. You know, like, we're the kids and we don't want to see mommy and daddy fighting. Make it stop. Thankfully, we move on to Donovan right before, you know, all of us have to decide who we're going to live with. Donovan looks very good. I actually prefer the gray, so I think he should just say no to the Just for Men beard and hair dye. And there's just a lot of filler with Donovan, mainly that there's a shitty pat-down protocol. But he got some good intel on gangs and the white supremacists. Really not much to talk about. I think because he was that good at it. He blended in that much. And if he's an undercover officer, well, he's not anymore because obviously he was on the show. Everyone's going to know what he does. So he's going to do some sort of other narcotic work, whatever. But I have a feeling if he was an undercover cop, there's probably a lot of information that we cannot be privy to. Or at least I like to think that, because I like to think that there's like conspiracy things going on, at least in the jail. Don't tell me about like aliens and stuff like that. It's going to scare the shit out of me. Let's move on to Vanessa. Oh, great. That's going to be even better because, all right, you guys, I'm afraid of Angel. I am just as afraid as I think Vanessa is, because remember, Vanessa has not seen any of this footage, which means all the footage that they showed of Angel and the roommate talking about Vanessa, Vanessa hadn't seen until just that moment. So I'm sure she's afraid now. She said she wasn't, but after watching that, shit, I mean, come on. Even Tony looked a little shook. And something tells me there were a lot of things going unsaid here during Vanessa's segment, or maybe I just lost what they were trying to get at. There's something going on with Angel. I kind of want to do a deep dive, but again, I'm also afraid because it sounds like she's super scary. So I better just leave that for Chief Peak to deal with. Now, then we go back to the entire group, phase one and phase two. The phase one participants didn't know anything at all about phase two, so they were shocked to hear that my boy Tony went back for another 30 days. And you know, that chapped Dennis's ass, even though he tried to play it off like it didn't. He was dying inside that Tony really was better than he was. Now, I was surprised to hear that Tony thought phase two was harder. But I can see what he was saying about, you know, when your ego gets involved, especially when you're having to prove something. Like, I was the all-star from phase one. Now I got to be the all-star in phase two. You got to step it up. And that is where, once again, all participants go wrong. Oh, Jacob. Jacob was Teapot, just like Jacob and Mark. When you're trying to prove something, that's when the real mental, emotional stuff gets to you. Okay, so we get some flashback footage, and they highlight that day where Tony took another inmate's clothes in the blanket because the guy stiffed him on commissary. Well, Ashley's jaw was on the floor, and Shanice was like fanning herself like, you know, she saw a piece of gluten-free bread for the first time. She thought Tony's little sidekick, the one who went to seg for him for stealing the crossword puzzle, she thought Tony was really taking advantage of that guy because maybe he had mental issues or psychological things going on. Even when Donovan filled in the gaps, though, like Tony was really saving that kid in reality because that kid was getting tortured, beat the shit out of, which is like a whole other story. Shanice should have backed off, but she was like, nope, I know what I'm talking about. He shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. All right, Shanice, take it easy. Eat the oranges that Ashley was giving you all season. Tony's playing pod boss, okay? He was doing that to complete the mission that he had. It really goes both ways. The male or the female pods or participants can be pointing fingers at each other because the games you have to play in the pods or the cultures in each of them are so different. All right, then we have a little catch up about the showdown between Jamichael and Tony, and this is where the hotel all just lost steam. I think it was because Sheriff Horton was sleeping. Dad over there is just resting his eyes. Can someone nudge him to wake up? The one statement he made during this entire segment, or actually it might have been the entire episode, he sounded like he just woke up. He was groggy. He was kind of indifferent. He was so over it. In the end, Dan Abrams asks all the participants, would you do it again? And I didn't really care who would or wouldn't, except Tony. And you know he would. He would have left in the next minute. But I'll tell you what I think Tony should do. I think he would make an amazing participant on The Amazing Race. Think about it. He's up for anything. He's fearless. He gets along with anyone. He seems like he could probably eat anything if he was eating the shit in jail. And they have to do some weird eating challenges on that show. I'm just saying, I think he would be an incredible player on that show. If he needs a partner, I'll throw myself out there. Just an idea. But I would watch him on that show if he chose anyone as a partner besides Shanice or Mark. Pass it on, CBS, The Amazing Race. All right, you guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. Please head to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, really helps me out. Check out patreon.com/realitybpod. Check out Total Request Podcast at patreon.com/trpod. All those links are in the show notes, and I hope you guys have an amazing week. Stay safe, stay home, and stay salty.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.